It's a frosty night across most of North America. It's Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. And tonight, I hope you've got a nice, warm, dry place to enjoy this show. We often explore the inner recesses of the human mind to better understand ourselves, both individually and our society. And we're going to do that again tonight. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. But first, I'll say interesting stories at coasttocoastam.com. Researchers create networked flying robots that build complex structures. Cool. Go see that story in the news section. It's right there after that pear-shaped UFO sighting in Scotland. And the second sun that the Earth might get soon, worth looking at, as well as the scientists claim to have demonstrated cold fusion. Now, that's a often debated subject in scientific circles, cold fusion. Can I tell you, I'm pretty sure I experienced cold fusion yesterday when my garage froze. My garage door froze. I mean, it fused shut because of the cold. That's kind of like cold fusion, sort of. It was enough to keep me locked in, though. As I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks, I've been homebound because of some surgeries I had back in December, and I still can't walk. It'll be another week before I'm allowed to walk, and so I get around as best I can on this scooter contraption on my leg, but I'm not allowed to put any weight down on my ankle for another week or so. And I've had, by the way, for those of you who are permanently disabled, I'm not in any way going to compare my experience to yours in the sense that I know that mine is temporary, and many of you would probably be happy to give a leg just to be able to hop on one. And I can hop. That's about the only thing I can do. But I have had just a glimpse of what it's like to be handicapped like that. And I know that disabilities aren't the end of your abilities, and there's so many more things that people can offer, but just the hassle of life when one is in these situations, just small things like weather and how incredibly difficult that makes it to get around and even do errands. I was going to try and do errands today, could not get the garage door up again for the second day in a row, which meant I couldn't get out of my house because we've had so much snow and ice. And although I could make it down to the end of my sidewalk, if I lay down in a sled, my son can pull me down to the end of my sidewalk. He'd have to pull me up over about a 4-foot berm of a plow wake that is now along the front of my house along the street because the plows keep coming by and plowing all the snow up. So I just thought, for second day in a row, I'll wait till it melts or I can get the garage door open or whatever comes first. But it's been tough. So you out there who are in that condition permanently, you are, I'm sure, every bit the contributor to society that I could ever hope to be. But my hearts are with you when it comes to those hassles, because that cannot be fun. So don't park in handicapped spaces and keep those in mind who have these difficulties, because it really is just a big drag. And that brings me then to, from that type of handicap, to the disability sometimes the people face mentally. In the news lately, we've been hearing a lot about the shooter in Arizona of Congressman Gabby Giffords and his mental issues as presented by the people with whom he interacted. And I kept finding myself so curious about what that's like to survive. It is the rare person who suffers from schizophrenia who does something like what this young man is accused of doing. Most people who are schizophrenic get help and can work their way through it. We know from movies, for example, that some very famous people have at one time suffered from schizophrenia and were able to overcome it and to succeed. But I wondered what that process was like when you're hearing voices or when you get suspicions that come into your head that begin to control you. And that's why we went searching for some people who might be able to answer about that process. Now, later on tonight, Dr. Judith Orloff returns. You might remember her from Coast to Coast in the past. She's a professor at UCLA and the author of books about things like psychic vampires, energy vampires, people who are intentionally out there taking your energy or life force from you. They survive because they know how to drain the people that are around them. And we'll talk about psychic psychiatry coming up later on tonight with her. But before we get to her, a well-known Australian horror fiction writer suffered from schizophrenia, and he's agreed to come on the show with us, Will Elliott. He's written many popular award-winning novels of literary horror, and some of which was inspired by his experiences with schizophrenia. He was 20 years old. He was in law school when he had to drop out because of this growing schizophrenia, which, as we understand, follows the very similar pattern to this guy in Arizona. He was in college but could no longer function and was forced out. But Will Elliott was able to get a hold of it. And so he's going to talk us through a little bit about the experience of being schizophrenic, what he is aware of and what he's not, how he's been able to control it, and how it has inspired his horror fiction. And we'll talk about that with him. We'll open up the phones. We'll get some calls for him as well. Be prepared to hear about life from a very different perspective inside the schizophrenic brain coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. For the last 4 or 5 years, Will Elliott has been a critically acclaimed novelist. We'll talk more about his books of fiction in just a minute, but he's also written a book called Strange Places, which chronicles what it was like for him personally to go through the experience of schizophrenia and well, I guess we can say come out on the other side. Will Elliott is in Australia. Good evening, Will.
Good evening, Ian. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you took our invitation, and I know it's an inconvenience, so thank you for making room for us in your schedule.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be here.
And I'll just give this warning. Usually, of course, when we're talking to somebody internationally, sometimes phone connections are problematic, and then we add into the idea that we're talking to you internationally on a cell phone. So we may have to beg for some patience should there be a disconnection, but let's make sure we get you back on if anything should happen, because I'm really looking forward to finding out more about what you went through. You were 20 years old when you first began to experience the onset of schizophrenia. Was that the first time you had a clue that there was something going on in the biochemical makeup of your brain?
Looking back earlier in life, there were certainly other anomalies in reality, which I noticed as a child and as an adolescent, but being very fleeting glimpses behind the veil, so to speak, it was not enough to drive me to the edge and, you know, question reality
right.
as a whole. But it has
What would that have looked like? What were some of those little glimpses that you started to have?
For instance, we had a teacher at our primary school who was an incredibly mean-spirited woman. And at one time when she was extremely agitated, her eyes sort of appeared to morph into slitted eyes just for an instant when she was extremely annoyed. And that was just one example. And other examples were, for instance, the television detecting an anomaly with the TV, which almost looked as though it had directed a personal comment through an advertisement at our household. I can't remember exactly what it was. I only remember thinking at the time that was really strange, just when I was a child of about 9 years old. So when things came to a head in my early adult years, it was a similar incident which began or appeared to kick off the trouble, the cognitive difficulty.
Right.
I'm actually at an interesting place right now because I've come to question whether or not those experiences were in fact mental illness or whether in fact they were a result of some other force, some other external force interfering with my reality and perhaps which interferes with the reality of a number of people who come to a certain level of mental and spiritual awakening. So I'm not as confident now in saying that it was mental illness, which probably would come as a surprise to people who have read the book, because in the book, at the time of writing the book, I very much did believe it was mental illness, and I very much swallowed the explanation for all these anomalies in reality as being sourced from within my own mind.
Can I get back to that? I want to put that aside for the moment, but that sounds like a very intriguing place from which to work as you're coming to this new awareness, and I want to ask you more about that. But sure. Before we go down that road, I think when you do talk about messages coming directed to you through the television, that is a very common thing for on the paranoid side of schizophrenia, that people begin to feel like things are being directed at them everywhere. They see significance in radio and television messages that the rest of us might look at and just say that was to everybody. That was just a general message to get people to come out to a car dealership or something. And people who are suffering from that particular mental perspective starts to feel like these things are directed very personally at them. That's at least common, even if you're questioning it yourself. I would say that's a characteristic that I hear often spoken of from people who are entering into the world of schizophrenia. Is that fair?
Well, I really don't know. The thing where it becomes interesting is where did this technology come from and what is it actually capable of? I've researched this and found many credible seeming people who say that television and other devices are in fact used for mind control and reality control and mind manipulation, and that mind control technology does indeed exist, and that human beings can be controlled and steered by various signals through television, through radio. And I think it's just that some people are either more receptive to this sort of thing naturally, they consciously notice it for whatever reason, whether it's genetic or what have you, or whether it's from drug use, and other people do not consciously perceive it, but they too might as well might be as manipulated as the person who consciously notices these things.
All right. Let's talk more about your experience. Were you a recreational drug user? Did you find yourself, as some people do who are experiencing the onset of schizophrenia, were you self-medicating through alcohol or through other drugs?
Self-medicating is a good way to put it, yes. We were certainly self-medicating at every opportunity. It was marijuana in our case, but again, right. I am unsure whether this necessarily means that what the marijuana, if indeed that was the cause, if what that brought out was an illness, or whether it was simply a raised awareness and an ability to see through the veil of our fake matrix reality. And I personally believe that certain drug use can make people see through the veil, and that such people who see are noticed. It is noticed that they see, and I believe that such people are targeted deliberately. There is a phenomenon called gang stalking, which is quite deliberate, organized attacks using electronic technology, electronic means, and other things, deliberately following someone around, for instance, and letting them know that you're following them around. And this could well start someone on the road to unreasonable paranoia, but the very first few things they notice, the first few anomalies, might in fact be quite real and accurately perceived. And once you get the ball rolling in someone's head that they are being followed, from then on, they never know when they're not being followed or watched. And I hate to break it to people, but we are indeed in an age where Big Brother type technology is all around us and has been for quite some time.
No, I totally would agree with you there. I mean, that there is we know that for a fact, that there is, you know, cooperation between governments at a very high level to monitor electronic communication, especially looking for, you know, whether it's for national security purposes or for other nefarious reasons. We do know that that's happened. We find out mostly about it in retrospect, but there's plenty of documentable proof that that's happened. But okay, so again, back to your experience, you at 20, you were in law school, and perhaps take us inside your mind a little bit at 20 years old on what you began to experience before you became a successful writer, when you were thinking you were still going to become an attorney, I assume, that you began to feel like something was separating you out. You were no longer able to function within that academic structure.
Yeah, I had a part-time job at a supermarket, which is probably the Australian equivalent of your Walmart. And I noticed a subliminal ad campaign for Coca-Cola, which was being used by the supermarket. It was a one-word ad campaign. The word was always. That was their slogan back then. People might even remember the jingle that went along with that.
Sure.
And I noticed there were these fridge magnets on sale in the drink aisle with the word always printed on them, with no other indication it was a Coca-Cola advertisement. And I mentioned this to my supervisor in a way that seemed disapproving. You know, I just found it interesting, the psychological manipulation that was going on there, where exposure to this word creates a trigger to associate with the drink.
Right.
And I suppose someone heard about it who didn't want to, because that was the beginning. That was when the first signal came at me from the television, from an ad on TV, whereby I believe I was targeted. By a signal from the TV. I reckon it was real. I still believe it was real. I went through a phase where I was trying to convince myself that and other things and other subsequent events weren't real, but I do believe now that that was real and that the ensuing harassment and stalking was real. If I were to go into the back, I couldn't prove all this in a court of law, you understand. This is simply things which I have reflected on and which tie in with my experience and the experiences of other people whose accounts I've read or heard. It did seem that after that point I was actually being followed around and watched, and I think this happens because certain people who see outside of the matrix are targeted deliberately and are indeed targeted for harassment and monitoring and so on.
Okay.
Now, the problem is that these people who then go before a psychiatrist and tell the psychiatrist what they've noticed, the psychiatrist has no idea about any of this stuff being actually real. You can be judged insane by the conclusion you come to rather than the thought process that led to the conclusion. If you went to a psychiatrist and said, I believe there is such a thing as a shape-shifting reptilian, a psychiatrist is likely to put you on medication and conclude that you are mentally ill. But if you look online and if you look at certain books, for instance, the early work of David Icke, you see there is a teetering mountain of evidence for this and many other things being real. So this is what I mean when I've had quite a different shift in perspective from when I wrote the book. Because when I wrote that book, Strange Places, I did indeed believe that the whole experience could be neatly chalked up as mental illness. So when that first signal came through, what happened there was a process of redefining the boundaries of one's personal reality. Now, if your reality is normally a sort of neat square box, something like that happens, it blows one wall of that box into a really weird new shape. And all of a sudden, you're trying to incorporate that with what had previously been quite a clear black and white reality. How can this be possible if all this other stuff is not possible, and so on? And that paranoia process, that process of redefining what your reality is what makes people scared and makes them easy prey for the psychiatrists whose job it is to put people back in the pen, because they are reality's gatekeepers.
So when you wrote the book Strange Places, where you talked out your kind of your experience, where you were at one point you felt were delusions, but now you're feeling like when you wrote that you were wrong, and that in fact, looking back on it, you no longer feel like seeing your teacher develop snake eyes or feeling like you're being targeted through commercial messages. Now, on further reflection, you're feeling like that actually was insight, not delusion.
Yes. And I'm not saying that everything that happened during that process of trying to redefine reality was a correct conclusion, because a lot of it is guesswork and you get no help from the surrounding world. They are not here to help you figure out what is real and what isn't. Because the truth of it is, the truth of it is really too horrible for most people to face. There is every incentive in the world to think that reality is the neat box that we all perceive it in. No one else around you, as you're going through this, if they haven't been targeted themselves, they don't know what's going on. They think you're crazy. That's what it sounds like. And I admit that is what it sounds like. If I walk into a psychiatrist and say, I believe there is such a thing as a shape-shifting reptilian, if they haven't heard of this before, they will reach for the pills in a heartbeat without having checked the evidence. You know?
Well, let me ask you then about your experience being treated pharmaceutically for this. We'll do that coming up next. This is all very new to me in this conversation. I was not expecting this turn. So we'll continue with this. His name is Will Elliott, and he's a literary horror fiction writer from Australia. We'll talk about his schizophrenia next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Well, we're talking with Will Elliott, and I think we're hearing a full dimensional conversation here on Coast to Coast. Many of us curious about the experience of life through the eyes of somebody who is schizophrenic. And Will Elliott is a well-known writer, an award-winning novelist. One of his books I heard mentioned to me when I told somebody who my guest was, they knew the book, The Pilo Family Circus. And yet he is also known for writing a memoir about his experiences working through schizophrenia called Strange Places. Now, in the book, which was just, as I understand, about a year old, he was reflecting on his life since having to leave law school at 20 because of the onset of schizophrenia, and working through with drugs and psychiatry and other things to get to a place where he could look back and say, this is what wasn't happening to him, but he was experiencing it as real. But now, as of tonight, he said since that publication of that book, he's reconsidered. And he thinks that, in fact, he was being targeted through commercial messages like the Coca-Cola Always campaign and through other aspects of stalking that he mentioned, that he was being targeted because he had insight into the box in which we live, that he could see outside the veil. And therefore, that's why he became the person that organizations, malevolent forces, were coming after. And now, instead of seeing a particularly overbearing teacher and seeing her eyes turn into snake's eyes while she was yelling at him as a student, and seeing that as an indicator, an early indicator that he was suffering from schizophrenia, now he sees that as the reason, perhaps, that he became targeted later on, that he was able to see shape-shifting reptilians where other people couldn't. And we'll get back to this conversation where we left it with Will Elliott coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Will Elliott is known for writing a very famous first novel about a schizophrenic clown, but got tired of telling people it was not autobiographical. That's why he wrote the book Strange Places, which came out a couple years ago, which he's reconsidering tonight on Coast to Coast. So at some point, as somebody who you started to get feedback from other people that there was something that wasn't quite right with you. Would that be fair to say, or did you have another way of gauging that there was something that you were trying to, your mind was saying you needed to address?
Well, yeah, I went back to the state psychiatrist in good faith, as most people do, the state-run psychiatrist in the Queensland health system, thinking that obviously the world around me had changed, or had appeared to have changed. There was a more fearful place. There was more going on. The mistake was thinking that the perceptions themselves weren't mistaken. They weren't mistaken. I was indeed targeted by gang stalking. People can look that up if they're curious to hear other people's experiences with gang stalking. And this has indeed happened again recently over the past 12 months, perhaps because of the fact that I've gone through another spiritual awakening of sorts, the same one which caused me to question the book Strange Places and why I'd written it, and whether or not I had deceived myself in the long run by going back into the Matrix and embracing the Matrix reality. But at the time, yes, no one else around me was perceiving these things, and it is a very confusing, frightening time when you are being targeted in this way. And you do not get any help from the outside world because most people are not aware of these things going on. And the person who is going through it does become scared and vulnerable. And they do look crazy to someone who does not also see outside the matrix and understand that all this stuff is actually there is
right.
to it.
Let me ask you a process question here so I understand the vocabulary with which we are speaking.
Sure.
If what you experienced is true, if what everything that you're saying is a factual reality, then you are in fact not schizophrenic.
Yes, I agree. I am still taking medication. I should hasten to add that I'm not advising people who have been medicated to cease taking medication. I'm still on the stuff because I have an emotional and physical dependency on it. But yes, that is my contention, is that psychiatry has been established as a gatekeeping force to keep people in the matrix reality, where we are regarded as a human resource by those who run this matrix and run this world.
But so my billboarding of you here, I mean, I'm trying to be sensitive to what it is that I'm hearing from you. My billboarding of you as either a recovering schizophrenic or somebody who's come to the other side of schizophrenia, that's inaccurate. I am misdescribing your situation. You would describe yourself as not schizophrenic, but you are actually somebody who is now aware of what's happening outside of the matrix. And you were an actual target, not somebody who perceived in a paranoid fashion that people were coming after him and or messages were being targeted. Tim, this actually happened. So I'm not I should not keep using the term schizophrenic with you.
That's fine. You can use it if you want. It doesn't bother me. But
it wouldn't be accurate.
Well, I mean, to a lot of people, I would fit their definition of it. But I mean,
But I'm not talking to other people. Talking to other people. I'm talking to you. And I just want to hear, because I don't want to, if you pardon the term, I just want to pussyfoot around that. If what you're going through is real, then I'm the one who's under the delusion. If I don't experience what you're experiencing about a matrix and a malevolent force that's out there or shapeshifters, I'm the one who's outside of reality. I'm the one who's not getting what's actually going on, not you.
Well, I wasn't going to say it. I think most people do live in a fake reality. Our reality is fake, a fake construction. It is.
Well, yours is not, but mine is.
Well, I guess that's for you to say.
I'm just going to the logical conclusion of that.
Yeah. Well, the way to work out whether someone is ill or not is the thought process. You would have to, it's up to you to make your own judgments, but if you can decide whether I am insane, whether I'm lucid, whether I'm able to follow a conversation logically or not. If you can prove that I can't, then you might have a case that I'm
insane. No. I don't think so. I don't know that I think there's lots of people who, I mean, for example, lucid comes back to some of the descriptions that we heard from the shooter of this congresswoman here in the United States that he talked about. He talked in similar terms about lucid dreaming, and he said that he began to feel like that he was awake when he was dreaming. He was not when he was conscious and functioning and walking around, that's the sleeping state. Dreaming, he felt like that was what was real.
I obviously don't know the guy who did that.
Right.
But I would say that shooting ties in with a lot of political agendas which are going on right now, and the people who are curious about this lone gunman who conveniently pops up whenever something needs to happen should probably look into things like MK Ultra and other mind control, which is practiced by the alphabet organizations of our government, the secret intelligence cabal, the mind control aspect of things, which can be, if you want a good source to start looking into that, look into Arizona Wilder's videos or Kathy O'Brien, Kathy with a K, on YouTube. You can find their
We know about that. We're the radio show that pretty much broke MK Ultra. So you're hearing people here. We're there isn't a need for discovery in that. We talk about it all the time, but I think that this is where I just want, again, I'm trying to define our purposes. So you think then maybe in the case then of this shooter that he might have been manipulated into doing this shooting through government agencies that were trying to get him to do this?
I'd say it's entirely possible, and perhaps more likely than there being a lone gunman to do such a thing. One thing that makes that rings alarm bells for me about that shooting was, first of all, the current push for gun control, and the fact that a number of innocents were taken out with the political targets, which to me makes it very, very convenient for those who want a problem, reaction, solution, response to this shooting. This sort of thing has happened before. The Port Arthur shootings were a government operation. If you look into that case, there are some very disturbing things. For instance, the marksmanship of this guy, who was not a professional soldier, the kill shots, the amount of shots that actually were headshots and killed the victims, was phenomenal, almost superhuman.
Really? I don't think so. He was like 5 feet away. I said, tell me why that seems superhuman to you.
No, I'm talking about the Port Arthur case.
Texas.
Now, conveniently, there were laws already being written before that happened to disarm the Australian populace. So I'm thinking
it's a similar sort of problem. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. All right. So back to you then. So you became targeted through this Coca-Cola campaign and through other reasons, you became the subject of stalking. Who was stalking you? Who was mass stalking you?
Well, they're cowards. So they don't show themselves and they don't announce who they are. But the thing is, it wasn't the Coca-Cola campaign that targeted me. It was by noticing that little mind trick. And I suspect, we go through a state education system here and the state health system here. So from a very young age, they know who you are from a very young age. They read your exams if they want to. They probably keep an eye out for signs of people who perhaps have an extra strand of DNA or what have you, people who are likely to see through the veil. So I don't know exactly who was behind it. Obviously, it's someone for the control system of our world was behind it all, ultimately. Someone, a few steps up the pyramid of regular law enforcement. The thing is, we don't know what kind of technology has been given through off-world intelligence to our governments in order to control us. There is a hell of a lot of disturbing realities which most of us cannot confront, even for their own sake. Then you add to the fact that if you do start to notice these things and talk about them, you will be called crazy. You will be possibly targeted. And I'm quite aware that I'm crossing the Rubicon here on a personal level. There will be reprisals for this conversation, and I just don't care anymore because reality to me is more important than anything else.
What will be the reprisals for you for this conversation, do you suspect?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I look forward to them. Let's see what they've got.
Well, okay, but I mean, in the past, traditionally, how did these group stalkings manifest themselves in terms of reprisals?
Well, the group stalkings were the campaign to drive someone to a vulnerable state so that they can be then put on this poison by the pharmaceutical industry. And people seem to think that the pharmaceutical scam, because it is a scam that makes money, they think it's about money, but it isn't. It is about reality control. People are getting diagnosed all around the world, normal people, with fictional medical conditions. In my case, it was one of many people who noticed there is more going on, there is more to this picture than meets the eye. And someone like that, I guess they think we're dangerous to them, which I don't think so. I never wanted to make enemies with powerful people or challenge the system. I was just happy living my life. And yet, I became targeted because I noticed too much. I noticed things going on, and I'm just one of many, many people who have been targeted in this way. And they put you on mind-altering drugs, drugs that alter you physically. Yes, they make money off it, but that's not the reason. The reason is reality gatekeeping. Because the true reality is that we are a human resource in our leader's eyes. We are in a narrow pen. We are tax slaves for life. We are bank slaves. And anyone who looks like breaking free of that system, there are means to deal with them. It's not overt control anymore. They do it more subtly through through psychiatry, which on the face of it looks like it's here to help you, but in reality it is not. It is not here to help you. It is here to keep you back in the pen if you have seen too much.
You know, you say that, and I'm reminded of something that's in your bio on your webpage. Again, we're talking with Will Elliott, who's a literary horror writer who at one time had described himself as somebody who had become able to control his schizophrenia. Now he feels was not schizophrenia, was just not mental illness, but mental awareness, and that the rest of us who don't see that are the ones who are living in a box, in a mental box. In your bio, I thought it was kind of a funny quip you put at the end of, or somebody did, about how you were saying, you know, here are the books I've written. And you said, buy my books because now I've got a mortgage. And I thought that was kind of a funny line. But now when you talk about being a bank slave, then buying a house, you have kids, Will?
No.
Okay. But you had a house, you bought a house at one point. Is that part of the kind of the bank slavery then is that kind of thing? I mean, I'm trying to understand what you mean by bank slavery.
The fact that I have a mortgage? No. It's just an observation that the banks are basically, they are higher up the pyramid than our governments, that's for sure. The banks are basically behind a lot of the manipulations that go on. They are one of the controlling influences, and they make slaves out of everyone who, for some reason, finds they have to pay to live on a planet they were born on, if I can quote Alex Collier there.
Okay.
It's not a personal reason other than that. I've realized that we are all living basically in a cage, all of us, and we can get out of here in a heartbeat, but more people have to wake up and realize what the true nature of our reality is. Now, there are a growing number of people who do realize this and realize the bind we are in, but there are still a lot of sleepers out there, and the world is changing rapidly, and people are going to have to wake up pretty damn quickly. Otherwise, they're going to be caught in the headlines.
Okay, so how can we escape it, as you describe it?
I guess you have to approach material information with an open mind. You have to learn to hone your discernment to a very sharp edge, because for everyone who can make the cognitive and spiritual leap and defeat their own fear enough to the point where they can face reality, there is an army of disinfo agents in the alternative media waiting there to feed them lies. Because if your mind is open to that point, you have to start believing in incredible things which are hard to accept. So that then makes you vulnerable to believing incredible disinformation. And there are plenty of big names in the alternative media who are there to do just that, to feed disinfo. Zachariah Sitchin, for instance, his big lie, if you accept all other things about the true nature of reality, the fact that the Anunnaki, for instance, are real, if you're willing to accept that, Sitchin's big lie is that they created humanity. That is not the case at all. They genetically altered humanity to limit us. It's not easy to discern reality, and it becomes harder and harder when you are at risk of being called crazy and medically put on medication, and for isolating yourself from your friends and family, who are going to think you're an absolute nutcase.
How did you discern it just sitting where you're sitting or being where you are without being taken somewhere, without being how do you discern reality more accurately than say I do?
I'm not claiming necessarily that I do. All I can tell you is what I have found to be true based on my experience and information which resonates with my experience. I have seen things with my own eyes.
Like what?
Shapeshifting, for instance. I've seen shapeshifting with my own eyes. Now, that ties in with a mountain of evidence. If I hadn't seen that evidence, which is freely available in, for instance, David Icke's early work, I stress his early work, then I would think that was my own mind playing tricks, but it corroborates with a lot of factual, verifiable information that is already out there.
Now, David Icke is one who believes in the reptilian conspiracy. You make a point to say early work. So, can I ask what's wrong with his later work?
Me, I don't think we're dealing with the same David Icke anymore. I think he's veered off into New Age stuff, and there may be some sinister reason for that. I don't know what it is. But, I mean, there are plenty of other sources which confirm it. Phil Schneider's, for instance, lectures on deep underground military bases, they are incredible, incredibly revealing, and he seems like a credible source to me. If you go to YouTube and look at a channel called Frequency Fence, all one word, Frequency Fence, he has incredible video evidence of shape-shifting reptilians, for instance.
Okay.
Al Bielek, did a video where he talks about Bill Snyder's eulogy. He talks about 7-foot greys dictating UN policy in a deep underground military base.
All right, hang on. We'll get back. Will Elliott, inaccurately described as a schizophrenic author, horror fiction writer, he says, even though he wrote a book about his schizophrenia, he's reconsidered it. And he says he was wrong in saying that that was his condition. He is mentally aware. We'll get back to him and some calls for him coming up on Coast to Coast.